My name is Scott Castle. I'm Director of Product Innovation at Quest Communications, and I've been given the privilege of spending some time with you this afternoon to talk about one of the latest technology buzzwords, or a couple of them, unified communications. A lot of time has been spent at this conference, and for that matter, various conferences, around the subject of convergence and what the various financial benefits as well as time-saving or efficiencies that can be gained from converging voice, data, and video communication, and doing that over some type of common networking fabric. My objective today is to kind of try to take it the next step and kind of peel back the onion a little bit and talk a little bit about the implications of that convergence and what kinds of impacts we're seeing in the enterprise. With respect to analyzing this, though, as you can even see here on the screen, it's more than just looking at the convergence of voice, data, and video. It's bringing in the combination of wireline and wireless. It's looking at bringing in voice over IP, presence, collaboration, email, and looking at even some of our old applications in new ways, such as how we're delivering our CRM and SCM and ERP applications, how we're tuning our network, different types of configuration tactics to make sure that the network is optimally servicing the need of the organization. Doing things such as configuring QoS in different ways to make sure that the enterprise's priorities are being met properly. Now, I hope this is the kind of discussion that you're going to find interesting, and hopefully it challenges you to maybe think in some new ways about how we are going to approach networking as we progress into the future. And as we get through this presentation, hopefully I'll also be able to answer the question for you that we pose on the screen today, and that is, what role will the telecom providers play in unified communication? So our agenda today, first of all, is I want to spend some quality time with you talking about what I believe are some new technology expectations that manifest itself in a few different ways. How end users are becoming more tech savvy, how there is an increasing burden of managing bandwidth and complexity, because of all these different applications coming together. And then finally, three, what these new expectations are of us as service providers by the different organizations out there that we do business with. Next, talk about a little bit of what the specific demands are that are now being placed on the network and how this is creating greater levels of complexity, how that is resulting in some changed behavior of the types of services that organizations are outsourcing and exactly how they're outsourcing and who are they outsourcing with, and talk about how different types of services providers, solutions providers, are meeting the needs or coming together potentially to meet the needs of the organizations. So let's go ahead and jump in and look at the new technology expectations. I would say at no time in history have enterprises, or for that matter their end users, driven the relationship with service providers or the underlying technology service providers or equipment providers more than they do today. What we are seeing is the age of the enterprise pushing applications down to the end user has somewhat come to an end. Rather, we're seeing that the end user is now increasingly pushing the enterprise. You don't have to look very far back in your rearview mirror to remember the times when enterprises would try to deploy new applications and they would continually be fought by their end users. You know, it started out with say applications like remote access, and they would say, this is too complex and I don't feel comfortable doing it. Of course, those years have come and gone. So have the days when you saw an enterprise deploy PCs for the first time, and all of a sudden then the end user started to adopt it and start using it at home. We're seeing things be turned upside down, though, with respect to that. As you are quite aware, we are seeing massive technology adoption in the home, in all areas of people's personal lives. And my conclusion of that whole thing is that now these enterprises are going to be filled with employees that are very tech savvy, and we are going to have to respond differently. So we see here a couple of, and what I'm going to talk about on those applications is how those different technologies are creating what we call a prosumer revolution. We can just go through a couple examples. Looking back even to well over a year ago, I remember when the Washington Post reported that for hardware manufacturers like Apple, Dell, and Hewlett-Packard, the focus these days seems to be less on personal computers and more on a host of tech gadgets that play music, movies, games, or take pictures, record audio, and organize your day. And don't forget that ubiquity of Wi-Fi. And I'm sure that isn't big news to any of you. How could it be? Because we're surrounded by it. My previous slide gave examples of such things as our BlackBerries, our Trios, Wi-Fi, digital imaging, Xbox, or Microsoft's Media Center, using voice over IP. Shoot, even my 95-year-old grandfather is running around with his cell phone and making phone calls. It's a completely different perspective than where we were even 5 years ago. What we are seeing, though, is that is transforming the way we engage between end users and enterprises and enterprises and service providers. So with this prosumer revolution, as you can see on my screen here, there are several direct things that we need to take into consideration. First of all, the fact that there is this greater technology adoption, therefore higher expectations by that end user. Second, that is pushing significantly more bandwidth across networks. You know, whether you're trying to send a 6 megabyte picture off to your mother, or whether or not you're playing some type of Xbox gaming event and in the home and competing with one of your friends down the street, it is driving significantly more bandwidth through the pipes. Third, the consumer applications are increasingly converging with these enterprise applications. An obvious example of this is the wireless devices, where all of a sudden I'm bringing together my personal life, my business life. I have business transactions going on there, but I have music playing, and I have pictures on there, and I'm transporting and giving it to my friend when I get to their house, and so on and so on. So we see that it's not just consumer and enterprise anymore. We start to see it blending together. I even know of applications where it was most efficient for a radiology practice to take an iPod and download the radiology images on their iPod, take that down to the hospital, and download it onto another machine so that they could achieve their objectives about being more efficient in how they ran their business. It doesn't matter what the device is, it's the concept behind it that our behavior is changing because of how technology is transcending every single thing that we do. Finally, it's all about simplicity. I love how Steve Jobs mentioned probably about a year ago on CNBC that it's Apple's jobs to figure out how to make complex technology easy to use for us mere mortals. I think we can agree that network administrators are looking for the same thing that a junior high school student is when they're trying to manage their technology: absolute simplicity. I don't have time or the inclination to trying to read an instruction book and figure out how to make this thing work. It's got to be intuitive, or I have to have someone else manage it for me because I got other things that I need to focus my attention on. Now, I could give you all kinds of other examples. One of them is even being talked about in the room right next door, and that's as we speak, really. Microsoft Vista product, we talk about how it's going to change the very nature of how we store and retrieve information. I think they've been working on this something like 10 years, and I think they're going to have it out here come sometime this winter. And the reality is that all of us, when we get into heavy computing environments, are saving files left and right and all kinds of subfiles and so forth. And I can't remember sometimes what I named it, where I put it. I've got so many subfolders on my email and in my on one computer versus another, on my network devices that I have backed up somewhere, and I have no idea how to find something, but it's very, very important. It was a contract. It doesn't matter. You understand the point. So what happens is now all of a sudden with this new behavioral modeling that's going on in a product like Visto, you got the opportunity to go out and find things in new ways and be much more efficient because it's searching through documents, through video, and as a result of that, it makes it easy for us to drive information through our businesses. Just think, if you go back 10 years ago and someone was doing a research paper, they'd run down the library and look through books in the stacks somewhere, and now they go to Google and they spend hours on Google searching different topics, and they do so much more research than they used to do. The same kind of leap is going to happen because of new search technologies. And what that means is because people can search easier, they search more, and when they search more, we have more bandwidth being pushed through the organization and more demands upon what we're doing within the organization. And then all of a sudden, also with this technology, you have things like IPv6. There's a lot of talk about it, a lot of hype, and we don't know exactly when enterprises are going to start fully adopting it. But what we know is whether it be enterprises or consumers, we are going to need it for an increasing number of IP addresses. It's funny, they say when we move to IPv6, we're going to have something like 5 times 10 to the power of 38 IP addresses. I heard a story, and I don't know if it's actually true or not, that this basically represents the equivalent of an IP address for every cell in our body times the 6.5 billion people on the planet, something crazy like that. And the reality is we are seeing a massive proliferation on IP addresses because we have them on everything. And so how do we start managing all those IP addresses, the complexity that comes in there, and then, of course, with each of those devices, once again, the bandwidth requirements that come along with it. Then all of a sudden, when you bring mobility into the equation, that then escalates that complexity one degree further. So we see when we move then directly into the enterprise that this consumer influence on bandwidth consumption is actually pushing more and more bandwidth consumption in the enterprise. I can go down and probably talk about any of these, but probably the best thing to do would be to talk about the most significant one, and that is voice over IP. Now, to start out with on this discussion, I kind of like to take this to a poll. We know that everyone's been talking about VoIP, this promise of greater efficiencies, greater mobility, general improvement in our lives for that matter. And I'm just wanting to find out how many of you have a VoIP phone? Okay? So one of the things I'd also ask is, how many of you are seeing the enterprises you're in or the enterprises you're working with actually already deploying VoIP routinely? Okay? A little bit. If we look at it a little more statistically rather than the anecdotally that I just was, we see that it's really a relatively small percentage that have fully adopted it, somewhere in the neighborhood of 11%. But if you look at also the number of those organizations that are already testing it, are in the process of buying the equipment, have plans of deploying the technology within a period of the next few months or so, or even the next year, we're seeing that it's well over 70%. And so we're seeing that is changing the nature of how enterprises and consumers work together in deploying different technologies. Now, I'm kind of also curious about getting a little of your feedback today about what kinds of VoIP solutions you anticipate that your organization or just organizations in general are going to deploy. We obviously have at Quest a vast variety of voice over IP solutions hosted in the network, integrated access, delivering SIP trunking capabilities, IP telephony solutions based upon the different premises-based equipment and so forth. How many of you would agree that the trend is really towards moving towards this VoIP peering or SIP trunking capability for most of these organizations? Okay. It seems like most of you are here. What about going to the cloud and moving forward with hosted voice over IP? Okay, definitely interest in those as well. Well, the reality is that whichever of these solutions you move forward with, it changes how businesses operate. And in reality, in many cases, it's just an infrastructure play. I mean, people are trying to better manage their infrastructure, better manage their users, cut cost. Take the basic example. Say you have a large point-of-sale retail institution, has multiple 1FBs at numerous different locations, and all of a sudden they can consolidate that on a unified infrastructure and start being more efficient as an organization. Now, of course, we know there's a lot of other applications as we go here. Audio conferencing, video conferencing, and the list goes on. I joke about the fact that as an individual, I cannot just have one application running at a time. I just make a basic phone call to ask a question of one of my colleagues about some development initiative, and within about 30 seconds into the call, we've already popped open Live Meeting or Net Meeting or Rain Dance or whatever it may be, and we are running this application. We've opened up a development portal. We're looking at some different technical diagrams and so forth, and that was just to deal with a five-minute question. There is no such thing as just sending an email anymore or making a quick phone call and getting a question answered, because we are engaging in different ways. And this is, once again, driving this bandwidth consumption up and increasing our complexity because of how we're living more in a multi-application environment. When we start looking at these applications listed here, it used to be that I would just run email. I'm not running email any longer. I'm running a messaging environment where I have my email, my instant messaging, my collaboration all integrated together with Presence. I'm going to manage identities across multiple applications, pop up what's going on in my CRM application as I'm making a call and then I'm in my email, whether even if I'm on my wireless device and remote. And so the growing complexity of that is more than many organizations can handle. So a little Quest story. Not long back, our internal IT crew at Quest became a little uncomfortable because end users had become so used to using instant messaging at home that they were starting to use it in such a widespread basis at Quest that the Quest team started getting concerned. Why? Because there's security implications there. And so they had to respond. They actually shut down instant messaging at our firm for a short period of time. And everyone freaked out, okay, because they were relying on it to do their job. So basically what you had was is consumers, end users, driving the behavior of the enterprise. The enterprise wasn't ready. And we're a technology enterprise, okay? Not ready to respond to it. And as a consequence, the consumers got a little upset because the enterprise, the organization, was not meeting their needs. Now, in this case, it wasn't because the enterprise didn't believe in it, didn't want to do it. It's because they had certain concerns like security, scalability, and things like that. So, different rules of the game, but the principle is still the same. We're just turning it all upside down. Everything I do anymore, again, requires multiple applications. But there are other triggers that I anticipate affecting this as we progress forward as well. And that's a function of the fact that all of these applications are demanding more and more bandwidth. As you see here, if we look historically, the traffic on the WAN has traditionally been emails, basic size pictures, a little bit of voice, even in the introductory voice over IP environment. But what we're seeing is with the change of these applications, we're having increasing amounts of music and kinds of video files, distance learning applications that are requiring more and more bandwidth. And I realize that many of you may be doing some things to try to control that a little bit, but as we'll talk about in just a moment, is controlling it really the best way to do it, best way to approach it, or is it really a better idea to engage it, to become proactive at how we start dealing with bandwidth management? Now, as a result of this, each enterprise is going to start seeing proliferation of their bandwidth consumption, larger and larger pipes, and it affects us as a service provider as well. We at Quest were the first one to deploy a nationwide OC 48 network, the first one to deploy a nationwide OC 192 network. But I even still look back and remember the time when we were first deploying T1 networks and we start talking about going up to T3 and we're like, wow, I can't believe we're going to use that much bandwidth. And now we're to a point where we're talking about going to OC 768 and we're in the process of moving to that 40 gig architecture right now. And I anticipate that before we hardly blink an eye, probably within about a year and a half, maybe two on the outside, we're going to be up to a full 100 gig networking infrastructure. And we have to do that to keep up with the enterprises who are trying to keep up with their end users and how they're trying to become more efficient at everything they do. So that drives what I call the bandwidth consumption conundrum. It's this idea now that we've got this massive amount of bandwidth consumption, but the prices are, per megabyte are actually falling. If you look at the example I give right here, in 1995, a T1 was $2,500 a month. Now we're looking at a DS3 being $2,500 a month. We're seeing that there's continued downward pressure on how much the consumer or the organization pays for bandwidth. I remember a couple of years ago, John Chambers suggested that the time is coming when long distance is going to be free. I think you all agree that we're quickly approaching that point. The reality is we're paying small sums of money as consumers and businesses for seats on hosted VoIP platforms, and it's all-you-can-eat packages where you get all the long distance you want domestically, maybe in some cases including different international settings as well. And what I see happening is the same kind of paradigm with bandwidth. Is bandwidth going to be free soon, just like long distance? It looks like we're moving in that direction, and I don't know what the pricing actually going to be in the future. I don't have a crystal ball, but what we can say is that increasingly this bandwidth is merely going to be bundled into a package of services where it's that greater degree of applications management that is what the focus of the organization is going to be. And it is going to be something where we're not really looking at the bandwidth anymore. That pricing may be approaching more and more to zero, but more importantly, it's a smaller chunk of the actual spend and the actual solution that the customer is engaging service providers with. Therefore, service providers are going to have to start approaching their customers a little bit differently. To do that, though, we have to understand what's going on in the network. We all obviously understand. I used to have a voice network, pretty simple, all the locations connected into the PSDN, maybe some kind of long-distance VPN network, all based upon varying forms of key systems or some type of corporate PBX infrastructure. Pretty straightforward. All of a sudden, then, we look on the data side. Of course, a separate network. Over generally on some kind of frame or ATM infrastructure, and I am going to be a very connection-oriented design to the solutions that I'm providing. I'm going to do basic applications, you know, once again, very hub and spoke. I'm going to have some traveling workers. They're not really directly integrated. I probably have some other, maybe some IPsec network to bring in those remote access users, or maybe I built my own dial network historically. And what we're seeing is we're starting to see the heavy transition. And we've seen it first with some IPsec-based VPNs in the enterprise, and now the move towards MPLS solutions. And we're seeing all of these different applications. I don't need to list them here, but whether it be voice over IP, dynamic call centers, all the convergence of the messaging and collaboration solutions, distance learning applications, like I mentioned before, real-time presence across those applications that are driving me to say, I can't do that over my old hub-and-spoke network. I have a driving need for peer-to-peer communication, and I'm seeing these networks come together, and my frame network is just not cutting it. So, while MPLS adoption is probably only about 11% of the networks right now, we're seeing, as Yankee Group says, a massive trend towards that adoption, whereas for those not currently using MPLS, 13% are testing it, 22% have signed contracts and plan on deploying, 11% will release an RFP this year, and 43% are already evaluating, but just not as far along in that process. So it's inevitable that this is the kind of architecture that enterprises are going to embrace in the future. And they're going to be looking at network convergence. They're going to be looking at how they deploy multicasting to make sure that they more efficiently use bandwidth. Making sure that they are trying to get Ethernet interfaces instead of the old T1 interfaces so they can very quickly scale the solutions, and so it's easier for them to work with us. How is it that you're going to be managing the QoS? Are we going to do just layer 3 MPLS, or are we also going to do layer 2 VPNs on MPLS, whether that be pseudo wires or VPLS? And I have to do end-to-end performance monitoring across this network. Why? Because I need to better understand my applications if I'm going to better manage my bandwidth. I'm going to do things like bandwidth acceleration. And if I'm building other kinds of networks, like what we're doing with our Wave networks, we're going to do things like ROTEM, where I can sit there and on the fly make decisions that change the nature of the wavelengths, the colors, the frequencies, and so forth, so that I can manage my business more efficiently. So what I would like to do, as we look at how we're engaging this new enterprise WAN, converged enterprise WAN environment, I want to talk about a couple of examples. First of all, we have a healthcare firm we work with, and its ERP application. They're in the business of building PET scanning facilities. For those of you that aren't aware, that's not making cats and dogs radioactive. It's a great diagnostic technique for cancer. You're basically putting an isotope in a patient, and you are it's going to flow through their body, and they're going to do different tests, scans, and really be able to accomplish some significant things in diagnosing cancer. But that equipment to manage is very, very expensive. So this organization built facilities in geographically dispersed areas, but a limited number of those facilities. But the doctors are spread all over the place, and you don't want the doctors to have to go to every one of those facilities. So they create reading rooms, facilities in more diverse locations. What happened was is they set this up for a frame network to be able to send the images from the scanning facilities to the reading facilities, but what they quickly found out is the network couldn't handle what they needed to do. And they also needed to be able to send them to all kinds of different locations, so a hub-and-spoke architecture was not really meeting their needs. So, of course, what we did was we put them on a private IP solution that was fully meshed, that gave them the ability to scale the bandwidth very quickly, and they no longer had to wrestle with this connection-oriented nature of the frame relay network, and added different kinds of mirroring and vaulting and backup capabilities to give them greater flexibility, all these business continuity services, and now they have a solution that's going to meet their needs. Now, that's a large-scale implication of this. What about a smaller example, like a small bank in Michigan that we work with that really been around since about the turn of the century, last century, 1912, I believe it was. And they were primarily serving the agricultural community. As you can understand, back in those days, the farmer, their suppliers, their customers, everybody went to the same bank. Now, everything's changed a little bit now. Instead of every one of those people going to the bank, I don't even hardly ever go to the bank or talk to the bank because I do everything electronically. But what happens is there's different types of organizations out there that do their banking differently, and they had started acquiring different banks and had grown into something like assets of around $4 billion, but they had lost sight of their customer. So what they did was they had something like 37 different systems that accumulate over the years for different kinds of applications, for tax, for the farming applications, for crop investments and so forth, and various other applications. And they were all in these small little connections, and they would try to pull up the applications, and they'd have to sit there and wait and wait and wait and wait, and they would provide poor customer service. So they built a new CRM system, built on a new peer-to-peer architecture on private IP, and all of a sudden, their ability to serve their customer improved greatly. Another customer I'm sure you're familiar with, Outback Steakhouse, had 1,200 restaurants in 12 countries. They've got had all kinds of problems because they just had a centralized data center, and they didn't have it distributed and be able to back up their facilities and so on and so forth. Put a private IP network in there with the right kind of redundancy solutions built in, backup solutions in a hosting facility, and all of a sudden they're able to operate much more effectively and with a greater degree of comfort as it relates to what they're doing moving forward. But not all these solutions are going to be private IP, MPLS-based solutions. Example, in our working with GE, Jay Leno shoots his show every afternoon, and they got to download it to a certain facility. They came to us and said, we want to do this with MPLS. In reality, they were distributing multiple applications across multiple environments. They just had some big bandwidth demands. And so we saw that with wavelength services, instead of with an MPLS solution, because the application really didn't demand it. The idea here, though, is that there is a growing demand, yes, of bandwidth, but a growing level of complexity as you integrate these different applications. If you look at this next slide, you talk about the plans different enterprises have to integrate the communications applications. And whether that be web hosting, voice over Wi-Fi, or whatever the case may be, the point is that it is pushing us to a new place. Some other statistics, Pew Research Center indicates that 50% of large enterprises have deployed wireless email devices. Gartner says that web-based conferencing and team collaboration software market will exceed $1.1 billion by 2008. Frost and Sullivan suggest that enterprise web conferencing use will increase 175% in 2008. Radicati predicts that the enterprise use of instant messaging will grow from about 20% now to about 80% by 2008 and ultimately surpassing email use. This puts just amazing amounts of pressure on how we're doing business, on us as enterprises trying to handle how we manage these different platforms and applications. So when we look at this complexity, I love how Yankee Group has expressed it, and that is that we are facing a complexity chasm, where what's happening is because of all of these applications that we are deploying more than we ever have before, and based upon the fact that all of these applications are now increasingly integrated with one another, it's becoming more and more difficult for organizations to manage them, particularly when we're looking downstream at smaller to medium-sized businesses versus the large multinational company that has a huge IT staff with experts maybe in each one of these applications. And so what's happening is the amount of time that has to be spent on these applications effectively crowds out the time that can be spent on revenue-generating applications. And therefore, as the second slide shows, is that as time increases on this network complexity or applications complexity, less time is spent on innovation within the businesses themselves. So therefore, what's happening? We're seeing that more and more, even small and medium-sized businesses, are going to be outsourcing the management of these applications. Whereas it was very easy to manage an exchange platform in days gone by, managing this combination of all these different applications is a much more significant proposition, and therefore they're going to be more inclined to outsource. As a consequence of that, then, you have to ask yourself the question, who are they going to outsource to? Because we have different types of organizations that have been managing the different types of solutions that we're now all of a sudden bringing together. We had different kinds of application services with these network services, the network services. You had some people going, therefore, to the big system integrators, to equipment providers, to network services providers, and the list goes on. Now, of course, we as telecom operators recognize the fact that probably about 7 out of 10 of the major applications are ones that have traditionally been in the telecom space. But there are different competencies that one gets if you're in each of these different fields. And for any one organization to think that they have all of the capabilities, all of the competencies to be able to meet the needs of this more complex enterprise is just crazy. So, what are we going to do? Again, very few people historically were outsourcing a lot of these applications. Now, there's maybe 30% of the businesses that are going to try to manage it themselves, and all the rest are going to start outsourcing. Who is it going to be? Who are they going to outsource to? Well, what I would suggest is it's going to be strategic outsourcing. And therefore, they're going to be finding ways to bring together an environment where there are multiple different types of solution providers meeting the needs of that enterprise. It's going to be creating what I call best-of-breed partnering. An example of this is some of the things like we've done at Quest, where we've partnered with our friends at Cilantro, who have built our hosted voice over IP platform, and our partners over at Microsoft, who built hosted messaging and collaboration, and of course, many other software applications. So what we've done is we've sat them in a room, got down there, and talked about how we can bring these applications together to where we are passing presence information from our hosted voice over IP solution to what we have built within a Microsoft environment. We didn't build the whole thing. We did it in a collaborative way. We haven't necessarily managed the whole thing either. And we're going to bring in other partners. We have certain applications we manage with IBM, certain applications we manage with Hewlett-Packard, other things we're doing with Nortel. And what we're seeing is all of a sudden, it's not about engaging one organization, but a team of expert organizations that once again can bring the best of breed solution because of the unique competencies that each one of them has. Now, due to the fact that so many of these applications are built upon a telecom infrastructure, it is generally going to be organizations like our own that are going to manage that relationship with the customer, and we're ultimately going to bring in these experts where it is most applicable to meet the needs of each unique organization. But we look back and we say, as an organization, well, does that mean we're going to have these new big bundles that are rigid, strict? You get the bundle, and yeah, you get all this other stuff too. Well, what if I don't want you to manage my email because I have to keep it inside because of regulatory purposes or just because I'm just risk averse? Well, fine, then you don't have to outsource that piece of it. In fact, what we may even do is build interfaces between our solutions and your solutions so that you continue to manage certain things, but you can maybe gain the efficiencies of presence information being passed between these applications. The point being is it has to be a solution-centric model that has all these piece parts, but it also has to be very modular as well so that different enterprises can have their needs met in the way consistent with how they want to run their business. Next, we look at just a little example of how these applications have been working in real life. We at Quest, in our Cyber Center infrastructure that's built into our IP network, have taken all kinds of different servers from different providers and built them into the network. Then all of a sudden, when we have a customer that wants to do voice over IP, distance learning, or whatever, they're going to be able to engage us and rely upon or leverage the specific applications that are going to be most suited for them. The one I just spoke about was around hosted messaging and collaboration, where what we have is kind of a click-to-call environment. Someone is within their collaboration tool, and they're looking at a certain document. It was made by John Smith, and they have a question for John Smith. They click within that specific collaboration application. It goes and sends, does the lookup of the phone number, and rings the hosted voice over IP phone. And all of a sudden, John Smith's phone starts to ring. Similarly, you could have a call to someone offline. That was all within the network. You could have another call that was out to the PSDN. And just like the previous example, phone goes off hook. It goes through the LCS database lookup. We have a SIP gateway, goes over to our application feature server, and completes a call out to the person on the public network. We also see similar examples with conferencing. Conferencing is increasing, and all of a sudden, I want to create a conference with multiple users. I can send out a request for that conference and then initiate the sessions with each of those end users, bringing them into that conferencing session, all dynamically based upon what we're doing with SIP and with other Microsoft protocols. This leads me to what I call the new service provider's total product concept. For many years, you can look at different authors that have some of these concepts. This is one based upon the writings of Ted Levitt at Harvard, as further even explained by Tom Peters. It's this idea that you start out with a certain group of services, and at the center you have your core services. Then you have something that is beyond that, but it's really pretty expected. You then have certain service providers or certain companies, competitors that augment that product. And then there's some that are really reaching out towards the potential. We look historically, just doing IP transport became a significant paradigm. Then all of a sudden, you had to be adding various security services, but then not firewall, but expanding beyond firewall to more advanced security services. Then QoS became more and more important because these networks started to have more and more applications run across it. And because of the growing complexity, then all of a sudden came the different managed applications. But what I am here to say today is that all of these things that used to be the augmented and potential parts of our service are now a part of the generic, where it has just become expected. And so then the question becomes, what is the next expected capability, the augmentation, and the potential thing that service providers have not been doing that they need to be doing before? Well, I would say to you that service delivery is the new technology battlefield. And service reliability coupled with this end user experience and these various types of support for these end users is what's really going to drive adoption. Also, I see service integration as the new killer application. The complexity of consolidating these applications will lead enterprises, particularly those small and medium businesses, to embrace the providers who are able to provide the high quality services integration that I've been examining with you. And those service providers who were able, once again, to bring together these best-of-breed capabilities from these different providers to achieve their objectives. What I'm saying, therefore, is convergence isn't merely about the technology. It isn't limited to fixing contracts or care. It isn't even limited to the discussions about these applications. It's about really transcending boundaries, geographic, cultural, lingual, socioeconomic, industry segment, the list goes on. Convergence is about the new economy, the new consumer, a new way of doing business, and it's really pretty exciting. So I think, you know, back in time, Quest always said, ride the light. And we made technology at the foundation of who we were. We realized that technology was essential to meet the needs of our customers. We still believe that, and it has become a given. But we no longer have Ride the Light as our tagline because we know it is about something greater than that. It's about meeting the needs of our customers in a new way, hence the idea of our spirit of service. It is about engaging enterprises. It's about engaging their end users in a new way that's going to make it possible for them to focus on their core competencies and become more efficient moving forward. So how do we answer my question from the beginning? Yes, telecom carriers, in cooperation with their partners, are essential to these different enterprises, different organizations having a successful unified communication strategy.